To take your Bible, please turn to Romans chapter 8, Romans chapter 8 this morning, and we will study a couple passages of Scripture from Romans and 1 Thessalonians and Titus and 1 Peter, those four passages this morning. We'll start in Romans chapter 8, and I'll begin by reading from verse 16 down to 25 in Romans chapter 8. The Bible says, "The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, and we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to once again look into the Scriptures. And Father, we pray that you would guide our thinking, that your Holy Spirit would do the work, that we would understand what is before us, and that we would have a better anticipation of the hope that is to come. Lord, we pray that as we enter a new year, you would give us hope, that we would live out that hope, that we would share that hope with others around us. Lord, help us now in this time to bring glory to you and to understand what's before us. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, this past year has been quite a year. A lot of transitions, a lot of things happening, and different activities in your life and my life. And we could just sit together and talk for quite some time about all the things that happened this past year. But we want to think ahead to the future. I think it's important for us to think ahead to the future. We want to have a vision and look forward. And so I'd like to look at this concept of the hope of the believer in this new year. We do have hope. I hope you have hope. And there is something to be hopeful about, and we might have a tendency to get kind of bummed and down about things. I think, oh man, what's going on in this world today? And of course, there's plenty for us, if we wanted to complain about, even though it wouldn't be just of us to do that. But we tend to do that, and we tend to see the negatives, and we kind of can get pessimistic from time to time. But I want you to see the hope of the believer. There's a reason for you to have joy in your heart. There's a reason for you to have a smile on your face. There's a reason for you to live this new year with hope. We need hope. And in this passage, we see the need for hope. I don't know about you, but I've had times in my life where I have felt hopeless. And there are quite a few people that come on Friday nights to our program because of depression issues. And I think if we're honest, every one of us struggles from time to time with depression. We get down. We feel hopeless. We think there's just no way out. There's no future. We can't find the joy and the peace. But there is hope. But if we're honest, we look around and there is a great need for hope today. Do you have friends and family that are going through difficulties? You talk to them and you say, "How you doing?" And they say, "Well, let me tell you." And they begin to tell you. And it's not good. And you know, that's not to say that they're a negative person. Maybe that's just to say that they're realistic about things. Because we look at our life and our world and things are not good. We think about politics, you know, and it's like, oh, it's horrible. Yeah, everybody, boob. Politics, you know. I think maybe what makes it so difficult for us is that we tend to place hope in politicians. And that is misplaced hope, let me tell you. But we get disappointed. Then we think about the stock market. Oh my, what a roller coaster lately, you know? You think, what is going on, you know? And there's just no real hope, no security, and everybody just is wondering what's going on. The Bible tells us why things are so crazy. It's because of the curse of sin. We read about it here in Romans chapter 8. And if you look down, you see there that there is a groaning in this creation. Look down at verse number 19. Verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature, that's the creation, that includes you and me, but includes the whole world as well. And the universe, in fact. The earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That is, the creation waits for the time when the sons of God are revealed truly as the sons of God. Not just the sons of God, those that are saved, but more importantly, the Son of God, when he is revealed in his glory as well. It continues, verse 20. For the creature was made subject to vanity. The creature, or we could say creation, that which was created by God, was made subject to vanity. Emptiness. Made subject to this really depression and pessimism that we see around us today. Have you ever had a really bad day where it seemed like everything was going wrong? And everybody's like, "No, not me." Yes, of course, we've all had really bad days. But it's not just us as humans that have bad days. You know, the rest of the world has bad days too. The creation itself, animals, they've got bad days. Things go wrong for them. You know, and maybe we don't think about it so much that way, but the earth itself is cursed. And things go bad and go wrong and it gets old, dies, and corruption settles in and things go bad for us. The creature, the world, the creation was made subject to vanity. Well, why? Because of sin. You remember Adam and Eve? Remember what they did? You remember their sin and the curse that God placed on them, but not just them. God cursed the ground itself. The creation, because of sin. And so the whole world, the creation, everything in it was made subject to this vanity, not willingly. It's not like the animal kingdom and the world had a choice. Adam did, but they didn't. And as a result of Adam's choice, and in fact, you and I weren't there at the time, were we? But he was our representative. And because of his choice, even we ourselves unwillingly have been plunged into the curse. And here we are. And our lives are going haywire. And we think to ourselves, we're not going to have food this week, or our bills aren't going to get paid. Or we think to ourselves, our bodies are just falling apart. I got this health issue and that health issue. And our families are falling apart at the seams. And our relationships are being broken up. And it just seems like everything is going wrong. It's because of the curse of sin. It's the curse of sin. And it's reality. It's for everybody. We've been made subject to this vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope. You see, God plunged all of creation into this despair because he also was going to provide the solution worldwide. You know, there's going to come a day when the earth is healed, when the earth is renewed and remade. You know, we read about it in the Old Testament prophecies, how the lion will lay with the lamb, you know, and all of that. And we think, well, how in the world could that ever take place? Because God will remove the curse of sin. Why? Because of Jesus and what he did for us on the cross. That's why. It all comes down to Jesus Christ. And so the same one who plunged us into that desperation is the same one who gives that hope as well. That's God. Verse 21, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Yet everybody is groaning. I got things to groan about, and so do you, you know. Let's just get together and groan together, right? Because we got things to groan about. Everybody does because of sin. What are we waiting for? The blessed hope. That's what we're waiting for. The blessed hope. The whole creation groans together. Verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. We think, well, man, I shouldn't feel this way. I've got the Holy Spirit living inside of me. I know that I'm saved. I've trusted Jesus as my Savior. Why do I struggle so much? Even we, with the Holy Spirit, with the Word of God, even we still have this body. And we still groan because we haven't gotten the whole package yet. Oh, we've got the down payment. God gave us his Holy Spirit. And we're as good as saved now, but we're still waiting for it all to happen. And someday it will. Someday it will. And we'll be freed from these painful bodies. We'll have new bodies that are wonderful. And things will be turned around for us. And that's something to anticipate. That's exciting. That's the blessed hope of the believer when Jesus comes again. And so we're waiting for that. Even Christians wait for that. Even Christians groan and wait for that. But at least we have the hope and the knowledge and the assurance that it's coming. Even we ourselves groan within ourselves, verse 23, waiting for the adoption, to wit the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope. Yes, that salvation is in hope. Not just a wish, you know. When you wish upon a star. No, I don't think so. It's not that. It's reality based on the Word of God. That salvation is coming. But see, it's in hope because we don't have all of it yet. We don't have heaven yet. We don't have the new body yet. And so we expect it. We hope for it. We wait for it. It's in the future. Our salvation is yet in the future. And so there's a reason to start looking forward and stop looking backward. Because there's something coming in the future. And it's salvation. It's salvation. Our salvation is in hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. If we've already got all of it and realized all of it now, it's not hope then. It's actual. But what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So we eagerly wait and anticipate the victory, the hope, the salvation that's on its way. And so as we walk every day through this world in all of its groaning that we do, We have something to look forward to. We can have a sparkle in our eye. We can have joy in our hearts. We can have a smile on our face. Why? Because we know it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Salvation is on its way because there is a great need for hope. There's a great need for hope. Not only is there a need for hope, but we can see exactly what that hope is. So I want you to take your Bible, turn to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And if you need to, look in the front of the Bible, get the table of contents, and find it. That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. That's why it's there. So 1 Thessalonians, and I want you to look at chapter 4. Is anybody thirsty? 1 Thessalonians. I'm getting my words mixed up. 1 Thessalonians 4, and I want you to see with me verse 13. I'm going to read down from verse 13 all the way into chapter 5, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, I'll start reading in verse 13. This is where we see the realization of hope, the realization of hope. Verse 13, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others, which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Boy, I should say, that is a comfort. It doesn't stop here. Someday Jesus is coming back. And when he comes back with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God is going to shout, and sure enough, we're going to be raised. We're going to be gathered up together in the clouds. We're going to meet Jesus in the air. And if we haven't died already, we're just going to be changed and go, just like that. If we have died already, then guess what? We'll come right out of those graves with a new body, boom, and we're with him in the air, just like that. That, my friends, is the blessed hope of the believer. You say, "Oh man, my life is so horrible. You know, I got these health problems. I think this is going to be the death of me." No, it's not. Oh, maybe, just maybe, that body will die and it'll lie in a grave someday. But that's not the end of the story. No, sir, we're going to be raised. That's the blessed hope of the believer. It's not over. It's not over. Even when you think it is, it's not. It's not over. We stand together around a grave. We mourn. And our hearts are broken because of this anguish of separation that we feel. But believers have a blessed hope. The blessed hope is that this is not the end. And we're going to see them again someday. We're going to be with them again someday. And it's going to be better than what it ever had been. That's the blessed hope. And that's the reality. And we don't go around scared and nervous all the time. "Oh, I might die. Oh, something might get me." We don't live that way. We have hope. And it is real. Look at chapter 5. He continues on with this discussion. But of the times and seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you, for you yourselves know perfectly the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us, who are of the day, be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also ye do. You see, because of the blessed hope that we're assured of, that Jesus will return, we don't have to be scared and nervous about the return of Jesus. Oh no, he's coming like a thief in the night. Oh, what's going to happen? Oh no, we're going to be caught and we're going to be punished. No, we're not. No, if we're saved, we're not appointed to wrath. That's what it says right there. We're appointed to salvation. And when the day of wrath comes, guess what? We're out of here. Praise God for that. I'm not sticking around for that stuff because of what Jesus did for me. The blessed hope of the believer is the return of Jesus Christ. Now, the rest of the world, it's not a good thing for them. Because when he comes as the righteous judge, there's going to be judgment. There's going to be pain and anguish. But for those of us who are believers, it is a blessed hope. And we have something to look forward to. So we've seen the need for hope. We've seen the realization for hope. I want you to see now the practice of hope. How do we live out practically the hope that we have in our lives? Titus chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. Find that with me if you will. Titus chapter 2 and verse number 11. Titus chapter 2. I'll read verses 11 down to 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Wow, this is great. So here we see the blessed hope. It's called the blessed hope here. That is listed for us exactly what it is. The blessed hope and what? Glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. When Jesus comes back, yes, that's the blessed hope. But what do we do until that happens? How do we live? How do we practice that hope? Remember, hope is something in the future, something that we anticipate, something that is coming. Oh, we're assured of it, and it's as good as done. But we haven't made it there yet, and it hasn't happened yet. So how do we anticipate? How do we live with that expectation? Well, we do what the Apostle Paul tells us to do and what he told Timothy to do here, specifically in verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. The first thing you and I need to learn is that ungodliness and worldly lust have no place in the life of a Christian. I don't need that stuff. I don't need to be attracted by the lusts of the world and all the things that the world can give me. Why? Because that's nothing. I've got a hope coming. I've got something a whole lot better coming. You say, oh, but Pastor Joel, you haven't seen the latest. You haven't seen the latest movie. Oh, man, you got to go see it. It's just amazing. It's incredible. Man, that's got nothing. That's got nothing for me. No, I've got a blessed hope. Jesus is coming back, and that's reality. That's reality. Oh, Pastor Joel, you got to go ride this roller coaster. Let me tell you, that is amazing. And you're going to be like, woo-hoo-hoo! You know, maybe it will be great. But it's nothing compared to when Jesus comes back. Nothing compared to that. Worldly lusts, no place for the Christian. Ungodliness, you know what that is? That's just being apathetic towards godly things. You say, well, Pastor Joel, it's not sinful what I'm doing. No, but is it godly? Is your focus on the things of God? Well, there's nothing wrong with this or there's nothing wrong with that. No, but But is your life characterized by godliness? I'm not saying you walk around with a halo over your head all the time, you know, with your hands in this position. That's not what I'm saying. But does your life revolve around God? And the very reason you're here this morning is because God has an important place in your life. That's how you live out that hope. And other people say, why do you go to church? Well, let me tell you. Because Jesus is coming back. Because my life is all about eternity. It's not about the here and now. It's about what's coming. It's about what Jesus has done for me. So I devote myself to him and to his service. My life is godly, not ungodly. So we deny the ungodliness. We deny the worldly lust. What do? We live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Soberly, that is serious-minded about spiritual things. Boy, the world is not serious-minded about spiritual things. They could care less about spiritual things. They could care less about God. In fact, they place such a low value on God and on Jesus Christ that the only time they talk about him is when stupid, bad things happen. Yeah. We just let his name fly out without a care in the world. No. That's not what we do as Christians. We live soberly about eternal things. Oh, that doesn't mean we can't have fun, we can't have smiles, we can't joke around. That's not what that's talking about. But at the same time, we recognize and realize there is an eternity. And every soul will exist somewhere forever. And that wakes us up a little bit. And that calls us to a sober kind of life. There's an urgency about spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we live soberly, righteously. That is devoting ourselves to doing right acts that God expects us to do, not just because there's a list of rules and regulations, but because the Holy Spirit of God lives within us and says, you need to do that. You need to show this love. You need to show this peace. You need to be meek in this situation. You need to do this. And so we devote our lives to living righteously, and then godly. Godly, meaning that it is obviously around God. My life is obviously dedicated to God. There's no question. People don't say, well, are you a Christian or aren't you? Well, they ought to know because we're godly. We're godly. And so we display that faith. People say, well, I don't display my faith on my shirt sleeve. I sure do. I ought to. Because I'm supposed to live a godly life. A godly life. And so we do that in this present world. One more thing I want to show you, and I got 2 minutes to show it. 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We've seen the need for hope. We've seen the realization of hope. Yes, the fact that Jesus will come. We've seen the practice of hope, how we live in this present world because of that hope. And now I want you to see the endurance of hope. And this is perhaps why hope breaks down in our lives as Christian and hope breaks down in our world today so often, because we don't endure in that hope. There comes a point where we feel so bogged down by the devil and by his attacks and by the ungodliness around us in the world and by all the things hanging onto this flesh, you know, and we get so bogged down that we just get worn out and we give up because we're tired. But true hope is something we cling to no matter what. No matter what, no matter the situation, no matter the difficulty. The hope we need in the new year is an enduring hope. 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read the entire chapter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively, a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and diligently and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which hath in them did signify, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed, not unto themselves, but unto us, they did minister the things which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Wherefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ, as obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it's written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And if ye call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your father, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower thereof falleth away, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Boy, I love that chapter. I just sit down and read that again. You know, that's so good. You can just think of this. Since eternity past, God has orchestrated the events that have taken place. Since eternity past, God has laid it down and ordained that Jesus would come, would die on the cross, would pay the death penalty for you and for me. And for thousands of years, they waited for that. Thousands of years. The prophets prophesied about it. They talked about it. It was written down. And those prophets, they thought, oh, someday there's going to come a Messiah. Someday there's going to be deliverance. Someday there's going to be salvation. And they waited and they waited and they waited for thousands of years. And then Jesus came. Wow, Jesus came and it was real. He came, he died on the cross. He was risen again the third day. All of that happened just as the prophets had prophesied it would, even though they didn't understand it, even though they didn't know how it was going to happen, even though the angels wanted to know more details, and they didn't know. All of that happened when Jesus came. It took thousands of years, and it was planned since eternity past. Let me ask you a question. Can you wait? Can you wait a couple more years? Can you endure in hope till the end? Just a couple more years. Who knows? Maybe it's just 1 year. Maybe it's not even a complete year. Can you wait? Or are you going to give up? And you're going to say, you know what? I've tried this, and I'm so down, I'm so discouraged, I just can't keep going anymore. It's just not worth it. Wait a minute. Get the big picture here. We're talking about eternity. Can't you wait just a little bit longer and trust him and endure and wait for that hope? Because there is hope coming. It's coming. It's soon. You look around at the world today and you think, oh man, I can't imagine Jesus would wait any longer. And maybe he won't, but maybe he will. And if he does, it's worth the wait. Endure. Endure. Wait till the end. Hope till the end, because it's worth it. Our Father, thank you so much for giving us the blessed hope. Lord, we don't sorrow like the rest of the world that has no hope, no understanding of things to come, who's very short-sighted. We're not like that. Because of the Word of God, because of what you have given to us, we have an enduring and everlasting hope. And Father, I pray that you would build into us that hope. And may we endure. May we cling to that hope. And in this new year, may we share that hope with somebody else. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.